Let me say good afternoon to everyone and want to thank everyone for being on the call this afternoon. Those that know the obligation to worship the Lord, and even for those that are on the call this afternoon, I want to thank you for your participation. I want to thank all the brothers that have participated thus far actively in the coordinating and their service in the various areas up to this point. We want to thank all of you for that which you have done thus far. I'm thankful and excited to be before you on this conference call on this first Sunday of the month of October, where we have an opportunity to worship God in spirit and in truth. I want to say to or encourage every person that's listening to this message at this time to have with you a pen and paper that you may take notes on today. I want to allow us to understand that whenever we hear the Word of God, we are students of the Word of God. But I also read recently from statistics that was done that only 10% of what we hear do we retain. And so I want to encourage us to be students of the Bible, and we'll talk about that in my lesson on this afternoon for your encouragement. And my subject title is How to Approach the Bible. How to Approach the Bible. This afternoon, I want to offer a biblical approach to the Bible. What is meant by the word approach? That is to take steps toward gaining the full knowledge, in this case, of the Scriptures. How do we gain full knowledge of the Scripture? I find five steps that are given for the student of the Bible. Again, I want to encourage you to take notes that you can have these notes. You can refer back to them. You can also investigate the things that are stated. Why? Because you have taken notes. So I want to encourage all of us that are listening at this time to become note takers when you hear the Word of God, and not simply just to hear only, because again, statistics say we cannot retain or remember all of that which we hear. We only retain little of that. So that's my encouragement to you. Act first that you meet me in the New Testament, Acts chapter 8 and verse number 26. Brother Brooks offered in our discussion of this message, he offered this scripture to me, and I thought it was an excellent springboard for which to begin this lesson on this afternoon. In Acts chapter 8, beginning at verse number 26, Acts chapter 8, beginning at verse number 26, how to approach the Bible. In Acts chapter 8 and verse number 26, the Bible reads, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, had come to Jerusalem for to worship." And then the Bible says in verse 28, where we'll get our first point, the Bible says, "was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet." The man of Ethiopia is the student in this text of Scripture. He is the student. The first step of the five steps is you have to read the Bible. Number one, you have to, in order to be a student, you have to read the Bible. What is meant by the word read? The word read means to know for certain or without doubt. When you read, you have to know that which you're reading and not doubt what you're reading. So, again, the first step of the student of the Bible. How do we approach the Bible? I have to read the Bible. Now, we find in the scripture in Acts 8:28, the man of Ethiopia was reading privately. But I also want to show us that there can be a public reading of the Bible. In Luke chapter 4, if you turn with me there, and the verse is number 16. Luke chapter 4, and the verse is number 16. The Bible reads, "And he," talking about Jesus, "came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read." So Jesus did public reading. He was reading publicly. So again, the first point is, in order to be a student of the Bible, in order to have, we sung the song, if you're on the call today and you desire to go to heaven and you're not a member of the Church of Christ, I will share with you at the close of the message those things as a student, how one becomes a student of God, and I'll show that in the text. You're not a student of God until you've done what God has commanded you to be. But we'll find in that text that Jesus also read the Bible. If Jesus is our example, as Peter said, then we ought to be readers of the Word of God. And so the question may come, how often should the student of the Bible read it? That's the question that I put before you. Turn your Bibles to Acts, the 17th chapter. Acts, the 17th chapter. Let us find an example in the Bible of how often, as a student of the Bible, should I read it. In Acts chapter 17, beginning at verse number 10, the Bible reads, "And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews." And watch verse 11. "These," who, the Bereans, "were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word of God," "with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so." How often did they search the scriptures? Every day they searched the scriptures. How much time are you giving to reading each day? And then when the Bible tells us to search the scriptures, that is an examination of the facts given in the Bible, to look closely and carefully in order to learn those things that we read in the Bible. So they not only received the word with readiness of mind, but they searched the scriptures every day to see whether those things were so. So a student of the Bible, number one, you have to read the Bible. What's the encouragement, Brother Stiles? The encouragement to everyone that is listening. You make time every day that you may read the Bible. Step number two, you have to believe the Bible. In John chapter 20 and beginning at verse number 30. John chapter 20 and verse number 30. The Bible reads, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." Brother Brooks, oftentimes in sharing that we believe the Bible, and every word of the Bible is true. So to believe the word means to accept it as true or as truthfulness. I believe what is written in the Bible. I have to not only read it, but I have to believe those things that are written in the Bible. So step number two, when I read that, I have to believe that which I read. There is no doubt in my mind when I read something that God has given to us to read that I believe those things. And so believe and the word faith are basically the same word in the Greek spelling. Believe is simply the verb and faith is often the noun. So when you look at the word believe and faith, it means the same thing. If you believe something, you ought to have faith in that which you believe. And so we have to believe the Bible and trust the Bible. You know, we're living in a time now that if we're not careful, that we'll begin to doubt about the things and the times in which we lived in. I know been a time ago back that I shared with me with us about in Habakkuk how God ruled in the lives of men, and God is on the throne, and we have to believe the word of God, whatever the word of God says, I believe it. Regardless of what man may say, I believe the word of God. And so, secondly, not only do I read the Bible, but I believe what the Bible says as I read it. And then the third step, the scripture that was given to us, you have to study the Bible. There's a difference between reading the Bible and studying the Bible. Let us look at our text that was given to us or read for us on this afternoon in 2 Timothy chapter 2. And the verse is number 15. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And the verse is number 15. Paul, in his second letter to Timothy, shared with him to study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So again, third step, I have to be a student of not only of the Bible. I have to notice the word student and study go hand in hand. I have to study the Bible. What is meant by studying the Bible? Studying the Bible, as we read sometimes the newspaper, we read the magazine may read a magazine for enjoyment, but when it comes to the Word of God, I ought to study the Bible. What does study mean, Brother Stroud? That means first the attention required of that person toward the Word of God. You're not just reading something that was written by someone for the newspaper. You're not reading something that is written for your entertainment, but you are reading the word of truth. You're reading the word from God, so it ought to have the attention required when it comes to, just like even now today, you're hearing the word of God. It ought to have your attention. I thank Brother William for saying in his prayer that we allow, do not allow ourselves to be distracted by outside things. If we're not careful, we can attend worship service. We can be in worship service, and our minds could be just as far away from the Word of God, as someone said this morning, from the east to the west. But I need to have my attention on the Word of God, the Word of truth. Why? Because these are the words, and I'll show you from what God says about His Word in one of my other points. But I'm trying to drive home the point that as a student, when did we go to class in our elementary, middle school, junior high, senior high, and even in our those that attended college, collegiate day, when did you go to school and not take notes while you were in class? When, how beneficial was it for you to just listen to something and retain everything? No, you took good notes and you referred to those notes after the class period over. Well, if that model worked for you then and allowed you to do well in testing, why should not that practice be done when it comes to the Word of God? The most important thing that you will read or study is the Word of God. And Paul told Timothy not only that you study to the point to show yourself approved to God, but he said a workman, and a workman here means a servant that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And that's why you can't become a servant of God until you do what God will says. And so that's why I said at the beginning, I'll share with you, a workman is a servant that needed not to be ashamed because you are able to rightly divide the word of truth. And then when the Bible talks about rightly dividing, by definition, that word means it has to do with a pattern, and it means to cut straight or teaching correctly the word of truth. We have to rightly divide the word of God. If God says, Paul told Timothy to rightly divide it, that means that it can be wrongly divided. We can cut along a pattern and not cut it properly, but we have to rightly divide the word of God in order for God to be a blessing to us. So point number three, you need to become, we need to become a, and being a student, study the word of God, and when it's time to study the word of God, those outside distractions that can distract any of us, those outside concerns that can worry any of us, those are the times that we allow those things. The word study also means it is a focusing of consciousness and a willingness to listen and accept the word of God. Not only do I focus my mind on the word of God, but I have a heart that is willing to listen and to accept the word of God. That's a one who studied the word of God. My proper attention, my proper focus, and there is a desire, and I'll show you that as we look further back on the unit that we talked about. So point number three, again, is to you have to study the Bible. Point number four, you have to have an understanding of the Bible. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 17. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 17. Paul wrote to the Ephesians, "Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Paul said, don't be unwise, but be understanding of what the will of the Lord is. You have to not only read the Bible, not only believe it, not only study it, but you have to get an understanding. What does understanding mean in the context that Paul was writing? Understanding means to grasp the meaning of something with your mind. As I said on occasions, if I ask someone to grab that glass, they would grab it with their hand and pick up the glass. I asked them to grab that book. They would reach with their hand and grab that book. And if you grab it firmly, then you have that book in your hand. You grab that glass firmly, you have a grip on the glass. Well, when it comes to the Word of God, what Paul was saying, we have to be able to grasp something or grasp the meaning of something with our mind. Yesterday I was talking to Brother Whitaker. We were sitting there, and I give an example of what I'm saying. Go back to Exodus. I recently had a study with my wife and those that study with her back in Exodus. I give this example of what I mean when I say an example of understanding with the mind. In Exodus chapter 1, and the Bible says in verse number 13, Exodus chapter 1 and verse number 13, giving you an example of what I'm saying. The Bible says that, and the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage and mortar and in brick and in all manner of service in the field. And all their service within, they made them serve, was with rigor. Well, if you don't understand what the word rigor means, that whole text does not make sense to you. You can't grab it. If you don't understand what rigor means, that one word, and sometimes we will read over that and keep reading. Sometimes you have where God will give through the Word of God what is called context clues, but if there's not a clue, then what does it mean? The word rigor, by definition, means to make something difficult and unpleasant. Now, in this text, you can find that in verse 14 because it says, and they made their lives bitter with hard bondage. And so, by definition, the Word of God oftentimes defined words. So in this case, rigor meant to make things unpleasant, to make things difficult, to make things hard and harsh. That's what the Egyptians did to the people of God in Exodus chapter 1. Giving you an example. So if I read the Word of God and I read through a word and do not get the meaning of the word, that can throw off the whole verse or the whole study because I don't understand. Learn to try to find the meaning of the word. That is, as Paul said to the Ephesians, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. How can you do the will of God when you don't understand what the will of God is? You have to get an understanding of what the Word of God says. And that's why Brother Brooks has said when he taught the class about getting study aids, and again, as I share with my wife and the group that she studies with, understand that a commentary is nothing but comments made by someone else. You have to confirm those comments with scripture in order for it to be truthful. Anybody can make a statement and show something that that you need to have Bible to prove a point from the Word of God. Now, having said that, you can look, I'll prove another point that will show us something from the Word of God that will prove a point from the Word of God. That you listen to God in God's entirety, and you find those things that God has said in his word. And God will give us those things that we need, that we get an understanding of the word of God. And so I want to share with us that, again, in your studies, get an understanding. Look in Acts chapter 8 and verse number 30. Acts chapter 8 and the verse is number 30. We find, going back to our original text, the Bible says, "And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read," notice, "the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest?" So he wanted to know from that point, did you understand what you read? You're reading the Bible, but do you understand what you read? And so we find that the man of Ethiopia responded and said, "How can I except some man guide me?" And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And so I want to say that a good student wants to be taught. He wanted to be taught the word of God so that he could get an understanding. The word guide here means to show me the way, or show him the way. So he wanted someone to study with him, to show him from the word of God what God has stated in the Bible. And so point number four is that you want to get an understanding of the Bible. Get an understanding when you study, not just read the Bible, believe it, and then study, but also get an understanding of what the Word of God is saying, that it can benefit you. And then step number five, you have to obey the Bible. You read it, you believe it, you study it, you understand it, but then you have to obey the Bible. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 5 and verse number 8. And notice in each of these points, I'm finding the word found in the scripture. So you will see that what I'm using comes from the scriptures. Each of these, we read where the Bible says read. We read where the Bible says believe. We read where the Bible says study. We read where the Bible says but understanding. And now we'll read where the Bible says to obey and why you need to obey. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 5, and the verse is number 8, "Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him." In order for anyone to receive eternal salvation, you have to obey the will of God. You have to obey the Lord. You have to obey Jesus Christ. The word obey, by definition, means willing to do what someone, in this case, God, Jesus, or the Holy Spirit, or God the Father, excuse me, God the Son, or God the Holy Spirit, tells you to do. You're willing to do whatever the Bible tells you to do. To follow the commands of God is to show obedience. Also, obedience also requires submission to authority. God is the ultimate authority. But God has set up layers of authority, even in the church. And we have to learn to submit to authority. That's obedience. Look in Hebrews chapter 13. Saying in Hebrews chapter 13, I want to point this out to some of us, because sometimes you can have members that do. And I want to say that there are layers of authority. Notice what the Hebrew writer said in verse number chapter 13, verse number 17. You'll find the word obey here again, meaning submit to authority them that have the rule or the lead over you. And do what? Hebrew writer, submit yourself. For they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for to you. And then also in Hebrews 13 and verse number 7, he says, remember them which have the rule or the lead over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their behavior. So the Lord says in the text, those that have spoken unto you the word of God, their faith, you follow them as long as they're following God. He says, and considering the end of their conversation. So again, I want to say that obedience is not when you do that which agrees with you. Obedience comes when you follow that what you are asked to do or you are commanded to do. That's obedience in God's eyesight. God has set up a layers of authority. God did that. And we find that in 2 Corinthians, while I'm on the point. 2 Corinthians is always good to remind us of some things so that some people will know what God has said and we not be negligent in what we say, what the Bible has said. That's in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 3. Paul allows us to see God's order. He says, but I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ. Christ is the head of every man. And in the church, the head of the woman is the man. That's why women don't serve in the church. That's why women have a submissive position when we assemble for worship. Why? Because the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. So God's order is God, Christ, man, and woman. And anytime anybody tries to disrupt that order, you are out of line. That's sinfulness. When man tries to say something that God has not said, that Christ has not said, you're in error. God cannot, a man cannot give permission where God haven't given permission. Women have a role in the church, but it's not one in leadership. You have to be careful that you stay in your place and understand this, sister. Can't no man give you permission where God haven't given him permission. And so we have to understand that obedience is what God requires of man. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Back in Samuel, God said that through the prophet. And so I want to end that to understand that we all have to be obedient. All of us have to give to the word of God, be obedient to the word of God, even when the word of God does not agree with me. And I think you will know that you're growing when you're able to do those things or submit yourself or willing to do those things that you personally may not agree with, but it's in the word of God and you do those things. That's when you can say, know that you're starting to grow. Why? Because you're submitting yourself to the word of God. So, as I close, how to approach the Bible. I want to share that so that foundationally we'll know our obligation, our responsibilities, and understand that God has given us steps in the Bible, His Word, that if we follow those things, if we do them in the manner in which He did, then we can be the student. And understand this here, in God's kingdom, no one ever graduates. We can always learn. I want to say, I think personally, since this coronavirus situation, I have become a better student. And I think I may have learned more in this period of time than I've learned in all my other studies because of the fact you give yourself and become a better student of the Bible, and you'll open yourself to studying God's Word and reading those things to increase your study. And so I hope on this afternoon I've been able to light that fire in each of us, that a person that wants to become, wants to be a student in us, but understand when you come to the classroom, when you step into God's classroom as a student, there are certain guidelines and principles that you need to adhere to in order to be the best student you can. If not, all you're doing is like, I know when I was in school and we would have, you would have some people would come to school or come to class, never bring any materials, never bring any books, just come to class and you just sit there and are there for socialization. And those are the same ones sometimes when other students are going to the next grade, they are staying in the same grade. Why? Because they didn't give themselves. And I'm saying to each of us, in order for us to go to heaven, we need to become the student that God requires that we can move forward when this life is over, because none of us know when the time clock, the sand will run out on our life. But at the time the sand runs out, I want God to know that I'm understanding the will of the Lord and trying to the best of my ability to do the will of God. And so if you're on the call this afternoon and you're not a Christian, you're not a member of the Church of Christ, what is the first spiritual thing that a student of the Bible must obey? Well, in Matthew 6:33, Jesus was talking to them on, we call it the Sermon on the Mount, but remember, I would want you to remember that when Jesus gave the Sermon on the Mount, nobody was a Christian then. There were no Christians. Christians didn't start until, Brother Brooks is talking about it now, until Acts chapter 2. No one became a member of the Church of Christ until Acts chapter 2. When they were added to the apostles. So when Jesus told them, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Why? Because it was the kingdom of God, or the Church of Christ, whose responsibility and obligation it is to teach people how to become saved. That's the church responsibility. That's why he told them that was listening to the Sermon on the Mount, the thing that you need to seek first is the kingdom of God. Find the Church of Christ once it starts. Once it started, after I've ascended, been resurrected and ascended, find the Church of Christ. Find, seek ye first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So when you find, you're on the call today, and you have found the Church of Christ, you're seeking the Church of Christ, then in Romans chapter 1 and verse number 15, Romans 1. So when you find the church, what is it that I need to do to be added unto the Lord, to become a servant of God, to become a member of the kingdom? In Romans 1:15, Paul says, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. And so he said he was ready to preach the gospel. What is the gospel? 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, the gospel consists of three facts: that Jesus Christ died for our sins. He was buried in a tomb. He rose on the third day. Well, to become a child of God, you must imitate what his child did. He died for sin. You must die to sin. He was buried in a tomb. You must be buried in water, which is called baptism. And by faith, when we talked about believing from Colossians 2 and 12, there's an operation going on. And by faith, you believe that the blood of Christ is in the water and it cleanses you, according to Hebrews 9:22, of all your sins. You believe that the blood of Christ is in that water when you are baptized, and that blood of Christ cleanses you of all your sins. And then Paul says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Why, Paul? For it is, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. It's to everyone that believeth. We talked about belief earlier. It was offered to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And so, if you're on the call today, you're not a Christian, what must I do? It's in Romans. You're in Romans chapter 6. And the verse is number 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? You're in your sins right now. Should you continue in sin that God's grace will continue to abound? The Bible says God forbid it, or God won't allow it. How shall we, Paul said, that are dead, they had died to sin, live any longer therein? Then he told them how they did it. He said, "Know ye not, or remember, that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death." When Christ died, according to John 19:34, two elements was present. When they pierced him in the side, out came blood and water. When a person died to sin, those two elements, one in actuality, the other one is by faith. You get in the water, and by faith, the blood is in the water. So at Christ's death, there was blood and water. At your death, there must also be blood and water. And then Paul said, therefore, we are buried with him by baptism. You die with Christ. He said that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. If you've heard the gospel, if you believe what I said, now you must, according to Acts 17, Acts 2, you must repent of your sins. You then make the confession that the eunuch made in Acts 8:37, that you believe, I believe, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Then we'll water baptize you for the forgiveness of all your past sins. Then the Lord will add you to the Church of Christ, according to Acts 2:47. I thank you for listening today. If there's someone that has not obeyed the Lord, get with the person that invited you on the call that they can take the steps that you can get out of your sin and become a Christian. Thank you very much for listening to my message.